The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out, and behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord.
God is a king. The Savior he sends us, Jesus Christ, the Son of God made man, comes not to philosophize, but to rule. Herod trembled because he knew this, and the wise men rejoiced because they knew this. Even before Jesus can talk, he teaches us a precious truth about ourselves. In our hearts, there dwell two potential responses to the coming of such a king: Herod's or the Magi's. Herod had spent his life murdering, extorting, and building a personal kingdom ruled by his whims for his personal glory. Christ enters the scene, a king with authority from on high, and Herod immediately feels the threat. If Christ is not destroyed or discredited, it could spell the end of all his labors. The Magi, on the other hand, do not fear the demands that this new king will make on their own personal lives. Instead, they rejoice to know that God's Savior is finally coming. Instead of hoarding and protecting their treasures, the fruits of their labors, they generously offer them to Christ as gestures of honor, respect, and allegiance. And whenever Christ enters our lives, which he does every day through the voice of conscience, the teachings of his church, and the designs of providence, we must choose in whose steps we will follow: Herod's or the Magi's. Will we tremble, afraid of what Jesus may demand of us? Or will we rejoice, glad to have such a glorious Lord to follow? We have both possibilities in our hearts. We are potential Herods, and we also are potential Magi. Why did Herod try to destroy Jesus, but the Magi worshipped him? The difference, I think, can be summed up in one word, which is humility. The Magi had humility, and Herod lacked it. And history tells us where that lack of humility landed him. Herod spent his life trying to keep everything under his control. He became pathologically suspicious. He ended up murdering his own wife and three of his sons because he thought they were plotting against him. In fact, his whole life was a series of violent, horrible crimes. His tyrannical fear of losing control eventually made him universally hated, even by his closest collaborators. And as he lay dying, he ordered 1,000 of his best servants and ministers to be led into a stadium and slaughtered, because he wanted to be sure there was mourning and sadness in his kingdom upon his death. Joseph Stalin, the equally bloody tyrant of early Soviet Russia, followed a similar path. He climbed the ladder of success by lying, double-crossing, and murdering. At once he reached the top, he systematically eliminated all potential rivals. But soon he began to think everyone was a potential rival. He sent his best friends to concentration camps in Siberia. He became so suspicious of plots against his life that he slept in a different corner of his house every night. And he too died fearful, miserable, and half crazed. These extreme examples illustrate the all-important fact that we are not God. God is God. We are not meant to control everything. We're meant to humbly follow Christ, to trust him, to kneel before him like the Magi, and say with our lives, "Thy will be done, not mine. Thy kingdom come, not mine." Herod couldn't say that. Stalin could not say that. But the Magi could. They gave everything over to Christ, and they went home full of joy. The first step to becoming more like the Magi and less like Herod is, first and foremost, knowing ourselves. We have to honestly look at the level of whatever selfishness may reside within ourselves. Then we will be able to kneel before the Lord and lay that selfishness at his feet in confession, just as the Magi laid their gifts at the feet of the baby Jesus. The Holy Spirit has provided a perfect thermometer for taking our selfishness temperature, which is, how do we react when our plans and our hopes are foiled? Herod planned on ruling Judea without opposition. When potential opposition shows up, he blows up, lashing out with violence. When things don't go my way, when I don't get my way, do I explode like that? The Magi planned on following the star right to the newborn king's doorstep. But when they reached Jerusalem, the star suddenly disappeared, and their plans, you could say, were foiled. But what did they do? Did they throw a temper tantrum like Herod? No, they stayed calm, and they looked for another solution. They persevered in doing good. They didn't let adverse circumstances poison their faith. And that's exactly how God wants us to act. We need to gradually learn to trust God in all circumstances. He is the King, not us. He is wise and good beyond all our reckoning. And so another question that could be asked is, what are we holding on to? Which part of our life is still resisting Christ's kingship? Which room in our soul is still locked and we haven't given Jesus the key? Maybe it's our goals. Maybe we're still thinking that our great achievements will give meaning to our life. They won't. Only Christ will. The only achievement that will last is that of fulfilling his will, following his example and his teachings. So today, once and for all, let us lay those achievements, those gold medals we covet so much, at the feet of the infant Lord, just like the Magi offered the gift of gold. Maybe also it's our affections, the affections of our heart. Maybe we still think that the perfect relationship will give meaning to our life. It won't. There is no such thing as a perfect relationship, at least not without Christ. In fact, he is the one who gives every relationship its lasting beauty and joy. We need to strive to please him first, and then he will make our relationships pleasing beyond our wildest dreams. So today, let us lay the affections of our heart at his feet, just as the Magi offered our Lord the sweet smell of their frankincense. And finally, maybe it's our sufferings. Maybe we're still angry at God for the hurt we have experienced in life. And this is not to minimize any pain or suffering we may have experienced in life, but in faith, we know that if he has permitted it, it's only because he knows he can transform it. So let us stop rebelling against our King and loving Lord and lay our sufferings at his feet, just as the Magi offered him their myrrh, which is the spiced ointment used to embalm bodies for burial. Today, after receiving Jesus in Holy Communion, let us ask him for strength to fight valiantly against the Herod in our hearts, to have the courage and perseverance of the Magi. And let us promise to confess our sins and keep going, keep seeking the star, keep striving to follow Christ, the everlasting Lord.